Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everyone. Welcome to episode 254 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. This is over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. And for those of you that are new, this is how we do things here. We're going to do the box office ace prediction game for Nightcrawler, Saw re-release, and Before I Go to Sleep. We have 8 movie reviews we're talking about today's show. Also, 5 trailers, including The Avengers 2, Insidious 3, The Gambler, and Top 5. But first, as always, let's get into that box office ace prediction game.
Or not.
And somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
We should have a technical difficulties thing I can play.
Yeah, we need like a banner.
Of course, that would be the entire episode. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That should be the name of the podcast.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
All right, so last weekend, you shit the bed. Ouija. Didn't
on Ouija, I did not
million.
Do so good. I thought 32 million. You thought, what, 28? Something like that? What did you think? What was yours?
29. Let's not talk about such things.
Oh, well, then, all right. We weren't that far off. Yeah, I thought Ouija would have done better just because it's Ouija, but it did 20. You know, I don't know. Is that even really respectable? I mean, it's Ouija. It should have been more, right?
It's respectable because that'll be like half of its eventual box office take. So they.
I don't know if that's respectable,
though. They got what they wanted. I mean, getting $40 million out of this concept is going above and beyond. I mean, this was never going to be anything. It's good that they did this the micro-budget way with Jason Blue.
But it's Ouija. You would have expected, I don't know, if anything has a name that's kind of scary, it would be that, right?
Is it still scary? Are people still scared by Ouija boards? I don't know. Is that still like a viable concept? I'm scared of squeegees more than Ouija boards. I'll tell you that. Shower doors kill me.
Depends on who's wielding the squeegee. John Wick. I said 15. You were what?
13.8.
13.8. It's at 14.1 right now. So we're split down the middle on that one. But yeah, it's a bit. You know, I said 15, but you kind of wish that it had done more, right?
It's robust considering that 47 Ronin didn't perform well and things like November Man and Expendables hadn't performed particularly well.
Well, these types of action flicks are a hard sell these days. This one looks particularly good and probably, you know, is winding up being on the bigger end here. If you can say $14 million is the bigger end, that's kind of sad at this point. But it really is when you look at Jason Statham type movies and the like. So, but critics ate it up, so...
Hopefully it also played on the IMAX screen. I mean, this was on the big format.
Well, there's nothing else out. There.
Yeah, well, until Interstellar comes out and takes that away in a couple weeks here.
Right, yeah, Interstellar will. So that was last weekend. Let's go to this weekend. What do we got?
What do you got Graveyard for holiday treats here. I mean, there's really nothing coming out, so much so that Lionsgate thinks they can jump on the ball and issue the re-release that no one saw coming or wanted.
Why did Ouija move back a week?
It was to take advantage of 2 weekends.
You think
they screwed themselves a little bit?
I don't
know. I don't.
You think Ouija's going to have legs? Well, I'm saying now it's out now. The idea being that Halloween's going to come around. People are going to want to go see it still. I don't know.
Well, it's got at least a shot for a second weekend, not a crazy drop off, because after Halloween, it has no value whatsoever. We saw that with the Saw movies, really. Those fell off immensely.
Well, horror if anything, horror has proven to be a genre that can play year long.
But not in the, I don't know, not in the November, December arena. I would dispute that there. I think early in the year, summer, all that stuff. But when the heavy parts of the drama and Christmas season come around, very rarely do we see horror films perform particularly well.
Well, that may be, I may say that may be due to the actual shit, the movies themselves, but.
But we do have the Saw re-release this weekend, which begs the question, when you can buy the entire.
And it's a wide release.
7-film series on Blu-ray for $18. Are you going to spend $20 to go see it at the theater?
I know, but people are crazy about this movie, about this set of movies, right? I mean, they really got into the whole mythology of it.
That's true. But I think, once again, when I said on the last show about re-releasing just the first film in a series, why not re-release Saw 2, which I think is the best one in the series? Mm-hmm. I'd rather see that than the first one. The first one's kind of a one-trick pony.
Well, it doesn't matter. I know you want a Ghostbusters 2. Now you want Saw 2.
Damn it.
Just live with it.
I want Karate Kid 3 out in the theaters now.
Just live with it.
Now.
What do you think it's going to make? It's opening wide. It's like to 1,800 screens, something like that.
Do you want me to go? 4 million.
4 million? 4.3. I'm going to say 6.
Still pretty respectable for a re-release that everybody owns.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's... people who wanted to see Ouija, I think, have seen it. And I don't know. I feel like this has kind of a bit of a cult following.
Don't you feel like this is the producers testing the waters to see if they should go the direct-to-DVD route or maybe pop out another sequel in a year or two?
Or some sort of a spin-off type thing. I don't know. Everyone's desperately clinging to their franchises. I would expect nothing but the same from Lionsgate.
At least Lionsgate played out Saw over the course of 7 years, and what, Paranormal Activity burned itself out in like, what, 3 or 4 years? So
they're still making those.
A quick burnout. Are they? They're trying, I think.
All right. Nightcrawler. This is obviously the biggest new release of the weekend. Odd that it stars Jake Gyllenhaal and it's the biggest release of the weekend.
He's been in some interesting things this year. So. Enemy was one of them. This is like another
interesting thing, sure, but this is going to be, this is the biggest release of the new movies anyways, for certain.
People are talking about this. I've heard some buzz.
I don't know if it's
going to
be number one
this,
movie. So. I think Ouija will probably beat it.
I think this makes a little bit of coin, though. I think more than it normally would because of its odd factor. Yeah, I'm going to put this one right around the 10 million mark. I'm going 9.8 on this.
I think that's a little high for my blood. I'm going to go 7.
All right, well, we're not that far apart on this, but I think
we're loads apart because we're talking $10 million, $7 million.
Well, I think this doesn't, you know, close above 30, but I think it takes advantage of the fact that nothing is really playing this weekend and comes out at the top one of these new releases. I do think Ouija.
I think it's got a problem because I think it's a miss because it's trying. It's called Nightcrawler. It looks grungy. It's trying to be a Halloween movie, and it isn't. And I think that backfires a little bit on it.
It reminds me of Bringing Out the Dead, which I mentioned to you off air, because of the fact that of its release date and its kind of odd qualities in the trailer. You know, I know it's not a direct comparison, but it kind of reminds me of that. So
they look like very different movies, but yeah, you're right. They're both odd looking. All right, on to the Nicole Kidman movie before I go to sleep. I've known about this movie. It's based on a fairly popular book. I still feel like it should have been directed DVD. I don't know. I can't be the only one that feels like that, right? It's a wide release, too. Yeah. 1,700 screens. It's about for those who don't know, it's about a woman, Nicole Kidman, who she's got the blank slate disease, basically. Now she goes to sleep. She forgets everything and wakes up. And she's got a husband and a doctor. She's got to figure out who's good, who's bad, what's going on. Someone's tricked her, you know, something weird.
It's the kind of movie that Halle Berry would have started in the
90s. Yeah.
So I'm not thinking this does too high here. What are you going with?
I'm going to go 3 million.
All right, I'm going a little bit below you and going 2.2. I think this does shit.
Yeah.
Even though it's a wide release, it's not wide enough to get any sort of real attention.
No, but again, we're only wide, I think, on a lot of these movies because we got real estate. It's available.
Mm-hmm, yeah. A lot of things are playing. And if they hadn't already done it, I mean, first of all, did you know that 22 Jump Street was put back in theaters last weekend for a little mini run? Did you know that? I didn't see any sort of charting for that. I didn't see any sort of promotion for that. But apparently it was thrown back in theaters. And I don't know why more companies or studios are not doing that this weekend. because of this real estate that they have here. Why not throw one of those horror misses from the recent times back in there and see if it plays?
Those horror misses. Yeah, can I get Jason Takes Manhattan?
Hey, I like Deliver Us from Evil. And I don't know why that missed the summer. I think that they really missed out by not. They tried to get big and do it over. I thought it was really good, and they could have released it this weekend and done much better.
Yeah.
That movie's odd because it has Joel McHale as a total badass. When you see that movie, you're going to watch it and go, is that fucking Joel McHale? I mean, it took me like 10 minutes to realize it was Joel McHale.
Yeah, horror's rough. It's a difficult genre.
Especially when comedians are playing badasses, it throws you off.
Well, you look at there's so many, big earners and all this stuff, but to understand horror is to have watched just 20 shitty movies to one decent one. It's really that genre is just chock full of crap.
But there have been some decent ones in recent years.
Yeah, but it's a cheap genre. Really it's a, yeah. You know, a low level, for entry into that genre, right? They can cost anywhere from, you know, free basically to make to, you know, a couple $1 million. It's rare to get a horror movie that's a real event movie with like $100 million budget. That's rare.
You said to me that Aronofsky was speaking at a college, and what was his words to future filmmakers?
He was basically saying if you're interested in getting into film, you better be prepared to either get into horror, comedy, or event pictures, because that's where it's going, and that's 100% correct. You know, those are the movies we're going to see. The entertainment movies; those are the ones.
We have our predictions for before I go. I don't think I gave you my predictions, did I? Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
2.2, and that was bumped up from 1.75. So I'm being generous on this sleeper, if you will. Right. If you haven't done so, as always, go to boxofficeace.com and get in this fantasy box office prediction game, which is slowly becoming my nightmare prediction game here. Although I think I'm losing to you still. Christ.
I don't know.
I'm even losing to you. You are in what, the second or third spot?
I think I'm in second right now. It's fairly stuck. I think we're done for the year at this point.
Hey. We don't quit around here, bud. We finish strong. I'm not quitting until that last weekend. I plan on a comeback, you see.
Sure.
The Bernard Hopkins of Box Office Ace. You just wait. All right.
So we got no news.
We got no news this weekend because we got eight movies to talk about. Eight full reviews.
We didn't want to talk about the Warner Brothers release schedule.
That just saddens me. Now we're talking about it because
we are.
Are you
I'm
ready
sorry.
For 10 superhero films in
well,
4 years?
I've been saying the whole year I really wish they'd get back on the superhero track because I feel like I need more superhero movies and Harry Potter movies.
And Lego movies.
Oh, good Lord. Could use a couple more of those. Really could.
If you see their plans of 10 superhero movies, 3 Harry Potter movies, and 3 extra Lego, it's like 16
what
movies
do you think?
They have planned out.
It's been a long time. Their rhetoric for a long time has been, we're going to keep things sacred, right? And they did that with the Harry Potter movies. They did that for a long time. And all of a sudden, there's a shakeup, you know, in Time Warner and all this stuff. And Warner Brothers is firing all these people, even though they're profitable. They're having to cut back on their expenditures and things. And all of a sudden, after all that's gone down, all of a sudden, they're just raping the franchises that they have available to them. It's
what
like
do we got?
this is no longer this is from someone above, you know, somebody else's head. It's like, you guys got to start milking those cows because look at what Disney's doing. That's exactly what this is, and it's a bit disgusting. I don't know, because I can't believe that half these movies are going to be worth it. They're just going to, you know, I don't. How do you get someone that wants to make these movies, right, or that has love enough to do it?
Yeah, it's just not. It's a job for hire, just like Battleship was for Spielberg and things like that. So
yeah, I think we're gonna get a lot of burnout on these, but let's not talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. When they come out, we'll see them. We'll talk about them then.
All right. I don't even know where we should start on today's show. Let's start a...
We have a shitload of stuff. Let's start with one of your reviews. Do Gone Girl.
I feel like this is the scene in High Fidelity when he's organizing his records. And the guy says, are these alphabetically? He goes, no, they're chronologically.
Top 10.
All right.
Just do Gone Girl. Do Gone Girl.
Just do Gone Girl. All right. My review of Gone Girl in a nutshell. You haven't seen it. It's hard to talk about Gone Girl because of its twisty plot turn and whatnot, but... I'll say this about Gone Girl. I'm giving it 2 out of 4 stars, and I've already ate a lot of shit about that. But I think it's Fincher's the least of his work to date. I do like Fincher, but I find this, I put this under Girl with the Dragon Tattoo even in terms of a story. And it may, I just don't like the story itself. I think it really loses a lot of momentum 45 minutes in, and it becomes this Hitchcockian type thing, and there's a lot of holes, and maybe the book makes up for it and things aren't, but there's some serious issues I have with the movie. Score works, is fine. I mean, the Fincher look works for what it is. The acting is top notch, but the characters, everybody's so unlikable that spending this much time with them became a fucking chore. You know, it's one of those things. And maybe it had been built up too much by the time I saw it, but I kind of said, this is it. This is a Lifetime movie, given that Fincher sheen. So when you see it, whenever that may be, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit further in depth. Because I'm sure this will be up for all sorts of Oscars because of the accolades that the people
in it. He's doing television now, so.
But I just mean as a story level, I can't see why he's attracted to this material. I see that, like... It is very aware of its like mockery of social media and stuff like that, but it's just at the same time, they don't act like real human beings. Nobody in this movie acts like a normal fucking human being, really. I think that the police are the lead investigator and her partner, who's the kid from Almost Famous, All Grown Up, which took me about 30 minutes to realize where I saw that kid from. You know, it was odd. You know, the little boy who was like running around with the rock stars. He's like 35 now, and he's in this movie as a cop.
He's been in stuff.
Really? I haven't seen him since Almost Famous.
I've seen him in some very low-budget indie stuff.
Oh, you're following around the career of Patrick Fugit. I think his last name is Fugit. I just like saying his last
name. It is. Something like that, yeah.
Fugit.
Okay.
Fugit.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo.
Draft Day. You saw Draft Day.
I did see Draft Day. This is a movie you loved.
I like Draft Day. Love? Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I wouldn't love it, but I mean, I like it a lot.
I liked it. I don't know if I liked it a lot. I think it's way too flawed for me to have liked it a lot. But I do, I mean, the minute that thing opens and you get it feels like a movie from the 90s. You know what I'm talking about. It's just a movie. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to like this. And I did. It was just a movie. My problem with it is that we're still doing this. Kevin Costner's like, what, like 50? Like, he's going on 60. And he's playing someone in his 30s. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I will agree that script
really
is much younger.
I'm tired of seeing that. You know, I'm tired of Adam Sandler doing that. I'm getting a little tired of that. If they had just had him be married already, because that's not the story. Wasn't the love story. It was unnecessary, actually. I thought it slowed things down with his mom and all that. It was a bit much for an older man to be like, oh, mommy.
Not only that, you brought it up, the Peter Pan syndrome with that, because the movie starts off and the first scene he finds out his girlfriend's pregnant.
All these movies are, right?
Tell me that movie isn't written for a Tom Cruise in Jerry Maguire. Yeah. Like, you know, that era Tom Cruise. Not even the current, you know, like a kid, like a mid-30s.
It is.
It's
a younger man's role.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that makes
more
sense
to me. But they could have cut some of those things or altered it.
But all they had to do was change it a little bit. Yeah, his character should have come from more of a position of strength, you know, and of age and of wisdom and something like that. You know, I don't know. That's what I would have wanted from that movie a little bit more, because I watched Friday Night Lights and it's like Coach Taylor. It's like, yeah, like that fucking works. Like, you know, model shit after that, because that worked for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what you're saying there. Although I thought the writing is good in, you know, like the pancake lines and things like that. Like, they do sustaining interest.
In the end, yeah, they do. And just when you think, oh, you know, where is this going? Someone hits him with something. And you're like, ooh, okay, that's interesting. I wonder where this goes.
Right.
But the payoff at the very end, when he you know, works the system, I guess, if you will. I don't know. Yeah, if I will be giving anything away, if it matters, I don't know. I don't want to, but the triumph at the end
payoff.
Just feels so, you know, and he really doesn't get much in return for anything. And all of a sudden, like, he's okay. It's like, and I thought it all hinged on, I thought that the Frank Langer, whatever the hell his name is, the owner of the team, I thought he wanted that bow guy. And when he didn't get him, I thought that was what was hinging on, you know, Kevin Costner's character losing his job. And when that didn't happen, it's like, now everything's okay.
The thing is, that movie, you're speaking about like this, like,
it
kind
just
of corny
felt,
aspect
it felt
of it,
unreal.
Which was, they had a corny disc going.
Do you
want to
talk about the corniness? Let's talk about
authenticity.
Yeah.
The NFL
okay.
stuff, though. So it was like,
I know, and I love
how
that.
Corny it was,
I
and
did
how
like that
it was.
A lot. I know. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I like this movie. I don't know if I could say that I really like this movie, because it's just, you know, it has problems that were just too much for me to get over a little bit there. And the music, again, like, you take the music out of this movie
home.
And it's like, yeah, it's too much, right? Take the music out or tone it down or something, because it's nothing's happening on the screen, but you're playing this music and it's like, oh my God,
it's a 90s type
yes,
movie.
But there's
big.
A difference between being in it and being and realizing, you know, you can see the strings, you know, you're being manipulated and you can see it like that's too much.
I thought that at some points this was a good actor's piece. You know, Costner was allowed to give his lines and do his thing and strut around. Although, like you said, I think that his character needed to come from a point of a little bit more authority or wisdom. But he does grow throughout the movie. But a little bit more tailoring, that this could have been a real home run.
Yeah,
but
he
I really
grows at the movie.
It was
and then
fun to watch.
When he tells his, screw it, spoilers. We do spoilers, right? We just do spoilers. But when he tells his mom, when he turns to his mom and says at the end, like, oh, we're having a baby. It's like, oh my God, you're fucking, you're 60-year-old man. Like, grow up at that point.
Your mom 92 fucking years old. She's been having a baby for 30 years.
I know. I feel bad for the whole situation. It's like, okay, you're all.
She ain't going to see that baby.
You're all too old. You know, this is not, it just didn't work for me like that. It would have been way better had he already been married and, like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like there's a closeness there, or yeah, we had dealt with family in that sense like that, instead of always, everyone's always trying to get the at the beginning of the story, you know, but why not, you know, do the middle or the end of a story as far as like someone's life goes, you know, it doesn't have to be meet and fall in love. You know, the whole idea of falling in love, like, let's fucking stop that and make a movie about people who are already in love.
Well, especially if you're going to get an actor in this age range. But like I said, I got to stick up for it in the sense that I do think it's a quality romantic type film mixed with a good...
I don't think it's quality romantic.
Guys film. Well, I mean, quality. I think that it has at least a romantic love interest angle that they didn't really show at all. So I was surprised that it had any of that, because I thought we were just going to get some draft day type bullshit. And really, draft day is nothing that entertaining unless it's your team that's being... up for the moment.
Right,
so
right.
For them to do a whole movie like that, I was intrigued at how they were going to sustain interest, how they were going to move from scene to scene, what they were going to use as the obstacles, and they found a good way to integrate all that shit, I thought. But the acting was good, the writing for what it is was good, but they just, I think if they had gotten a younger actor, the writing wouldn't seem so fucking glaring at some points to me, because that's when there were times when I was like, oh, this is, you know, literally screenplay 101 here, use this to advance to there, to go to here. Was just because of the fact that he was 55 years old.
I don't think there's a person out there right now that at the right age that would be able to play this. You know, because this would have been a role. You know, I think Kevin Costner, you know, younger. I think Michael Keaton, younger, could have tackled this role.
Michael Keaton would have been great in this. It's funny how we're bringing that
up. But I can't think of anyone now that would be the right age, you know, in their 30s somewhere that would fit into this role. So maybe that's something to consider when... Yeah, because I don't know who else would you cast. I don't know.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about, since we're talking about older actors. I hate to say that word.
the old fogies.
Older actors. You know what I mean? Speaking of the fogies, let's talk about The Monuments Men, a movie basically where a group of actors who aren't that old try to act like old fogies for the sake of I don't know. This movie is a mess.
It's no good.
You see The Monuments Men? It's no good, man. This is a 2-star movie. And I hate to say that because you're going to say, oh, Gone Girl's a two-star movie. It's better than that. It is better. Gone Girl is better than The Monuments Men. But for what they're trying to do, they're both unsuccessful. And The Monuments Men, it wants to be an Ocean's movie so bad. The group of guys meet up. They all go their separate way on these convoluted missions that are so disjointed from one another that they're like these little kind of vignettes or set pieces that have no real... Once again, they try to strive for authenticity in some scenes, and then other shit is so weirdly not realistic. When Bill Murray finds a German soldier that stumbled upon his partner, and they share a smoke together, and they all sit down and do some kind of like wacky shit, and they just walk off in separate directions. It's like, what the fuck is this? It's weird. The movie is disjointed. When you see it, you'll know it's not terrible because there's scenes that work in the movie. And like passages that kind of work and dialogue that's good, and they do a good kind of like ho-hum Hogan's Hero type verbal banter that almost feels Coen-esque that Clooney might have picked up from them because he is credited as co-writer. But as a whole, skip this movie. This is not a very it's not a very good war movie, and it's not a very good like Ocean's movie, so I don't know what the fuck it is. It's Clooney just going on with this Americana fascination, honestly. Bill Murray is lost. No good. Sorry. I hate to be down on this one, but this is no good. All right. Let's talk about Transformers 4. Because this is the rabbit in the hat. We must. Because
Age of Extinction, aptly titled, right?
I saw the theater and I texted you, man, it's as bad as they said it was. Because you and I have been sticking up for the first three for years.
Yeah, even the second one, which is bad, you have to admit, it's still fun to watch, and I think it has its position within that trilogy, you know? I think it's
the worst one in the first three.
And I can now get through it, and I actually have fun watching it.
Do you agree Transformers, this is the worst one?
Well, let's just look at, like, so it opens up and it starts playing, and I'm thinking, this is great. This is perfectly fine. I got Michael Bay. I got Mark Wahlberg's actually not too bad. I like a lot of the actors in it, right? I like Kelsey Grammer. I like Stanley Tucci. I like T.J. Miller a lot. Then they go ahead and it just keeps going and nothing is really happening. And I realize that this is a giant piece of shit. And then they kill T.J. Miller.
Right away.
Which I think is horrible. I was like, well, why? What was the reason for that?
Tell me that odd, I said this to you before, like Michael Bay humor gets, it's in a lot of his movies and it's oddly put in there. And this movie had an abundance of it.
It seemed trying to have meaning too. And weird, like with the T.J. Miller death, you know, there was a thing in this movie about like a greed, and it was weird. Like T.J. Miller was very greedy, and so he died. Mark Wahlberg's character was not greedy.
Exactly. Lit.
And that happens throughout. Like Stanley Tucci's character was very greedy in the beginning, and then turns and becomes ungreedy. Kelsey Grammer's character is very greedy, and whoever's greedy gets killed in this movie. It's weird. It's like, why is it in this? It's a Transformers movie. And also, how do you
You're like Louis C.K. on Transformers 4.
How do you fuck up the Dinobots? I've never seen they're like, oh, well, now it's time for the Dinobots. Okay. Pull, there's the Dinobots. Okay, okay. You guys, you can go now. I was like, what? It's a horrible movie.
When did your realization that it set in? Because I'm watching it in a theater in about 30 minutes.
It was actually 30 minutes in is when he really hits you. That's about the time when T.J. Miller dies. But that's when you realize there's no point. You realize you're just watching shit and things are just happening. And you're like, there's literally no rhyme, reason, or point to this. It's trying desperately to have something, but it never gets there. And Mark Wahlberg, the whole thing is fucking dumb,
too. The boyfriend is obnoxious. I was waiting for Mark Wahlberg to smash his fucking face in. And where does that scene? Can we get a scene where he throws him against the wall and beats his ass or at least roughs him up? Like, where was that? Little guys popping off to Marky Mark? This shit don't happen in most movies.
Yeah, I was not a fan of this. This, and it's long, too.
And there are pervy shots of that girl in it. And I'm watching it like on a major screen, like a large screen format. And it's like, well, see it in IMAX, man. See it in IMAX.
I didn't notice necessarily that. I do. It is odd to me to watch this, and I mean, we're speaking about like age and coming off for our discussion of draft day. It's weird that the whole time I'm seeing this, I'm feeling like it feels like Mark Wahlberg should be dating his daughter.
Yeah, like normally like
she'd
be loving.
There's like a weird love interest. Yeah, it was weird. And then to see them hug and stuff. Right,
triangle.
I was like, this feels wrong somehow.
Yeah, that really is the definition of a cash grab, because that thing it's just unwieldy.
It's bad.
I really didn't think.
Especially after coming off of Dark of the Moon, which is really good. Mm-hmm. At least I thought.
That the score was once again really good. They had some nice new additions to the score, some kind of haunting things.
I noticed a little bit of that.
Remember
really,
Chicago stuff I thought was effective, but...
It's not. The movie is just so bad, it kind of makes you not really... Or for me anyways, not really pay attention enough to like the little things.
Yeah. By the time the ending fight scenes came, I was so mentally checked out, I was waiting for it to be done.
Well, I was just, the whole movie, you're waiting for the Dinobots, you know, and the thing's called Age of Extinction. You kind of, and they introduce them in such a lame way. I mean, Optimus Prime makes it his bit, which I don't get. In this movie, they fight. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense, because in some scenes, like, the Transformers are very tough and they're impossible to beat. And then they'll just be giant weenies.
A giant weenie transformer?
You can just kill him. Yeah. It turns into a pussy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a tough thing for him to say. It's... Giant weenie.
You know what I mean. It just feels very, yeah, I don't know. It has no point.
And the movie sucked. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's take a break for a commercial here, and we'll come back with a couple more reviews, and then we'll get into the Trailer Addict portion of today's show.
Proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film Podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hey everybody, I'm Kai.
And I'm Heather.
And we are the hosts of MILFcast, the Man I Love Films podcast, the unofficial, official podcast of manilovefilms.com. This is the podcast where we like to talk about what we've been watching, talk about movies, but mainly we just like to drink, be silly, and play a whole bunch of games. So we think every other week you should grab a drink, snuggle up, and let us make sweet love to your ears.
Otherwise, we'll make sweet love to your couch.
So come and find us on iTunes. Just search for MILFcast.
I got an ear infection from that podcast. I just want everyone to know that.
I think I'm wiping down her couch as we speak. And on my couch. All right, speaking of the couch, this one's going to send me to the couch. Talking to shrink after this one. Leprechaun's Origins.
Yeah, tell me about this, because I'm dying to watch this. I love the Leprechaun movies. I am. Tell me about it.
I like the Leprechaun movies, too. This thing has nothing to do with those movies. Or those movies had a kind of B-movie... cheekiness,
yeah,
self-deprecating style. This has no humor whatsoever. This is a straightforward reboot.
WWE, right?
It doesn't... Yeah, it's
midget
WWE
wrestler.
With that Hogglesworth. It doesn't matter who's in the fucking suit. You don't see it. It's so cheap. They go to the Jaws routine and try not to hide the fucker from you. Hmm. I'm mad because I wasted an hour and a half watching this thing.
I mean, Warwick Davis is so synonymous with that role at this point, to me anyways. Like his voice, you know, alone.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, when I hear his voice in that Leprechaun voice, it's like, oh, that's Leprechaun, you know? It's iconic almost. I know it's weird to say it's fucking Leprechaun, but it is.
To have the name value of this WWE guy who's in there and the franchise and then not show the creature or the person really is ridiculous. And they hide it from you till like literally the very, very end. And you'll see why, because the makeup sucks. The costume sucks. It's just straightforward. So it's about this group of travelers who go to Ireland. They're in a bar. This guy says, hey, I'll give you a ride to the most remote place where you can stay before you go on this hike. Well, this place is... Like an ex-gold mine. They have the housing, the old workers there. They stay there for one night. They lock them in. The gremlin can, like, come through windows, down the chimney to terrorize them. And they're stuck in this fucking house. But you realize after about 30 minutes that you're just staying in the house.
Did you download the script? I mean, is that what you... Are you reading a PDF of the script right now?
I feel like that's the treatment right there. It's terrible. It's terrible. No. I wish I did, because that's how bad... I mean, this movie's so straightforward. There's about three things that happen. And of course, it, you know, it wants the gold and this, that. Yeah, and the villagers are feeding these travelers to them to keep them away from the village. But they try for this Jurassic Park, Jaws, Spielberg type thing where they show like leaves rustling and like things moving in the bush.
You,
and
what are you
just like?
You're saying Leprechaun should not go for like a high art horror film? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. If it had any other aspirations whatsoever than to rip off a couple shots from fucking Spielberg, man, this is terrible. Leprechaun Origins, I give it no stars. Honestly,
does he talk at all? I mean, is it anything like the other? Like, does he? I mean,
no,
you say it's not. It's not like that. So he doesn't like waddle up and be like, talk shit like that.
Oh man, no. Watch this. I can't wait for you to watch this. Honestly, the worst one of these I've ever seen. This is terrible. This is shit filmmaking cash grab like you wouldn't believe. It has no relevance whatsoever to anything that's come before or to the Leprechaun or fucking to gold. I mean, it has no... It has a disrespect to gold itself.
Pot at the end of the rainbow on this one, huh?
No, I mean, it doesn't matter much what pot you had. You'd need a lot to even make this worthwhile, and it's not working. Not working for me. So stay away from this one. Honestly, no stars on this one. Absolute bomb.
Zero stars. Wow.
Zero stars. Let's talk about a movie that I thought was successful, and I'm waiting to hear what you think. This is Oculus, another WWE production, but this one a far more esteemed production, I think. And I really got into this movie. What did you think about this horror movie?
The idea is great. I think the execution is lacking quite a bit. It's slow. The first 30 minutes really can be cut out entirely. The buildup is a lot to get to what is kind of an awesome idea and really at times an awesome movie. And bad, as far as bad guys go, right? This is an undefeatable bad guy.
And it's great.
Which is hard to do well, and they do it pretty good.
Great trickery too with some scenes. I particularly like the scene where the first time they replay the tape and they show them arguing and moving the cameras and things
again,
like that. And
you have an issue there, right? Which the people should know right away that you, like the whole idea, which I guess explain this, right? There's an evil mirror that possesses people, you know, and makes them kill people. So this family got this mirror. Dad went crazy. Mom went crazy. It was crazy. Craziness ensued. The dad wound up killing the mom, and the son wound up killing the dad. Yada yada yada. These are all things you pretty much know from the get go, although it takes forever for them to tell you. Yeah, and then the son and the daughter have grown up, and the son's getting out of the mental institute, and they're selling off everything from the estate. Apparently, which again I didn't understand the timeline necessarily there. And she gets the mirror, and they're going to prove that the mirror is evil, right? I mean, that's basically her idea. And the setup to that, like the whole, I love the kill switch and all that kind of shit. That was awesome idea. Like she really thought it out, but then they videotape it and I don't, you know, spoilers, I guess, if not already, it shows they have no proof, right? Even after they videotape it. Any sane person would be able to look at that and say, well, you have no proof. You didn't prove shit, right? That's how hard it would be to defeat this mirror. And it's actually impossible. But the way that it fought back, it's literally impossible for you to prove that it does anything, right? It is. So I don't know why you would have to give up immediately and come back to this. They applied logic first. She applied logic when she set everything up and set the whole thing up. And then immediately looked at it and was like, I'm an idiot. And you think, how can you be an idiot if you did all this? If you put all this thought into it, you can't be this stupid. You know, and that's my problem with that movie necessarily, is that there's that. And then there's a lot of in between time, people running around and, it gets in your head is the idea of this. That's great. It's essentially undefeatable. But, you know, what was real? Even I don't even know.
You tell me.
Nobody knows. It kinda,
you're being very logical here. They applied logic first. They did it. They drew first blood.
They did.
Not me.
So I don't know. I think the ideas in this were good, and they're good. It's an awesome idea, really. Because when you think of bad guys, you know, Jason's fairly indefeatable, but he's not indestructible. You know, I could imagine beating Jason. Krueger's pretty difficult, right? He's pretty fun.
I imagine Krueger guy. You ain't gonna beat him.
Every time you can beat Krueger, he's hard though. He's a little more difficult. He gets into your head and all this. But this Oculus fucking mirror thing is just, yeah, you're fucked. You know.
I thought in the moment once again, this movie works for me scene for scene. Just
I hope they do a sequel, personally, because don't you want to see someone else go up against this thing? I really do. I want to see someone else attempt to beat this thing. It's almost like a mind puzzle. Like how would you even imagine beating it? I don't know. So in that sense, it was a good movie, but I thought a little poor execution.
But
you liked it. How many stars would you give it?
I give it 3 stars. I thought it was, but 3. To me, that's pretty good because so far it's the best horror movie that I've seen this year. And I've seen Devil's Due, Paranormal Activity, The Quiet Ones. So, I mean, I think that Oculus so far has been the best horror movie.
Well, certainly more cerebral than most.
Yeah, that's why I think I enjoyed about it a little bit. Because I did like the sense that they were fucking with me a little bit. You know, you start watching, like, okay, they're going to screw with us a little bit here. So, because I didn't know what I was getting into. I really didn't research anything about it. I just kind of put it on.
I know it's based on a short film by the same director.
Which
and
probably works better.
I was just going to say, it does feel like it would fit much better into a 20-minute segment than as how they had to stretch it out. It didn't flow very well.
It's why that first 30 minutes feels a little bit elongated because...
Well, it's completely unnecessary. They just have to... You got to fill it in.
Setting it up. All right. Let's talk about a movie I'm embarrassed to talk about. You ready for this? I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed.
I don't know why. You said this earlier, but we've already talked about the Lego movie, which you raved about. We've talked about Transformers. We've seen all these other movies.
Like this movie.
That's why.
You don't understand. Right. I wanted to hate this fucking movie.
Because it's not like the old.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is friggin' awesome. I got to say it on air. I enjoyed this
shit. Isn't that a good thing?
Turtles movie. I don't know why I like this movie so much. I got all the details right, man. Mm-hmm. All the details. I don't know.
Well, I'm dying to see it.
I don't know what to. I mean, what can you say about it? It's the same old shit. It's the Foot Clan. It's Shredder. It's Splinter. It's the Turtles.
Yeah.
It's April O'Neil. But you know, they just got a lot of details.
You wouldn't
right
expect that to change.
No,
you wouldn't want it.
Exactly. I didn't realize what they were going to do with the property, and they actually have treated it with a wink. And I mean, this for everything that Leprechaun Origins did wrong in rebooting, this did absolutely right in rebooting. And to me, it's the it's the feeling I had when I saw the first Transformers when they rebooted that or they made that. I thought, like, how the fuck could they make a toy into a movie? And then they did that. I was like, oh my God, it was kind of exhilarating. I really liked it. I felt the same way with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because I thought such low expectations.
Well,
so
I really,
I was really
liked
impressed.
The TMNT, the all CGI one.
This is way better than that, even.
I'm sure it is because that one was far more childish and felt like it had more to do with the cartoon, which makes sense because it was a cartoon. But I did like that one, which I was surprised that I liked that one. So.
This was very childish too because it's a family movie. Let's be
right,
honest,
right.
But there are, you know, at one point he says to him, you know, are they aliens? He says, no, they're mutants. You know, that's stupid. You know, remember the whole controversy about the aliens?
Right, right.
Like, there's a lot of knowing stuff in here. And the pizza, of course, makes an appearance, and just the personalities. Leonardo and Raphael having disputes over leadership, which is classic of the comics, of the cartoon, of the movies, all that kind of stuff. So you start watching this and you just start kind of like nodding in recognition and remembrance of, oh, that's right, that's right. Oh, they got her in the yellow raincoat, that's right. You know, things like that. You're just like, from wardrobe to characterization to just the way they said certain things, you know, and I'm not talking about cowabunga, but just even the way that Donatello speaks, you know, kind of his nerdy way of speech pattern and trying to be tough, but, you know, come alone or you'll be punished, you know, things like, it's kind of interesting to me. I just thought, like, they did it with loving care as opposed to doing just a cash-in to me. So I think that's why it was such a hit, too. I mean, I'm impressed.
Well, so like the Lego Movie again, yeah. You know, you find that dads wouldn't mind taking their kids to see this because dad's going to be entertained as well.
Our generation, yeah, our generation now are
the right, dads, right. You know, would be the dads, yeah.
But like everything that Leprechaun and Transformers did wrong, I felt this one did right this year. So, big surprise for me was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I can't wait for you to see it and get.
Look for the sequel soon, right?
yeah, probably next year, right, or as soon as possible. But the CGI, yep. I mean, it is nice. It looks, everything looks nice here, and it has that Transformers.
It looks fake.
Lens flare. Of course, it looks
the
fake.
The trailer looks
Ninja
fake.
Turtles.
No, but they look. It looks.
This movie
very
is better
CGI.
Than that trailer.
It is.
This all movie, right. And I'll tell you what, it's mercifully short. At 100 minutes, this thing moves like a bullet. I mean, this thing is
that's perfect.
So uncomplicated, it's not even funny. They were gearing up for the big fight, and I thought, oh, God. After just watching Transformers, it's like, well, someone's going to get caught and taken away to a lair. This is just like the fight leading up to the fight leading up to the fight. No, this thing was the fight. I was like, oh, shit, this thing's over? Great. Surprised.
Great.
Exhilarating.
Yeah.
So you got a good one there today. What's next on our
list? I got a bad one for you.
Which one?
Rage.
I liked Rage.
How could you have liked this horrible, horrible fucking movie?
Horrible, horrible?
Oh, God. This movie is fucking horrendous.
Okay.
First of all, this thing has like a post-sharpen filter on it that is just god-awfully ugly.
Is it like that? Why it has that gray tint?
Oh, God. I mean, just look at people's hair. It looks like everyone has frizzy hair. They've over-sharpened the movie. I don't know if they did it, you know, in the camera and post, whatever they did. It's over-sharpened. They have some sort of sharpening on it, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah. I am
that
looking
being
over
said,
my review of it.
Come on.
I only gave it 2 stars, so I guess I didn't particularly care for it, but...
It's not very good. It's boring as fuck, and he runs around. And he doesn't really do anything. I just thought it was a bad version of low budget action movies. Which is, I don't. How can you have a bad version of low budget action movies? Well, here it is. Watch Rage.
Well, I thought that this
it's
is obviously
trash.
Trying to be a history of violence. I mean, that's the
a
obvious
little bit. I mean
here.
That and Taken, obviously, but they. Tried to kind of turn that on its head immediately.
It was almost like a Wayne Kramer movie to me. You know, like the old like Running Scared. Obviously not as good, but...
Not close.
It's equal parts to me, you know, History of Violence and Steven Seagal, because this does have some scenes that are straight up a Steven Seagal type thing.
This is
like,
very
oh
Steven Seagal. Yeah, it's pretty bad, you know. It's for... I don't know. I guess I have to start considering Nicolas Cage on the level of Steven Seagal at this point. Because that's what he's
they
been.
The same
that's the shit that he's been turning out lately.
It's that same hairline. No, you can't say that because Joe. He had a movie called Joe earlier this year that was.
Oh,
really,
congratulations!
Really
he had one
good.
Movie. Where's the rest of his shit? Why is he making these horrible movies if he's so good? If he's Nicolas Cage, such a good actor, why is he doing these? You know, and it's not just this one. Frozen Ground's dog shit. You know, we can go on and on. Bangkok Dangerous.
He's the best thing
but
in
horrible.
This movie. Let's be
Seeking
honest
Justice
about
is
that.
Stupid, stolen.
He's the best thing in this.
Who gives a shit? The movie's trash. So he's the best piece of trash in the trash can?
Yes, he's the nicest bottle in the shit bin, okay? He's got a nice wrapping on
he's
him.
He's not very good in this. I don't think so. He's just Nicolas Cage. He just does his he's I showed up. I'm a little wacky. I'm going to kill some people. It's like,
you're
okay.
In full Siskel mode today. He's not very good. I mean, you know what? I'm sticking up for Cage. I liked him in this movie. The movie sucked, but he was good in this movie.
He was not good in this. No one was good in this movie. I think Peter Stormare was a little bit less than his usual self in this.
Well, playing the same role he's played a fucking billion times. I'm sure he's just overplaying that role.
I don't know. I didn't like the trio of guys. I thought that was cheesy. I mean, when they go, they're like, we're trying to find my daughter. And the one guy goes, he just goes to some fucking building. But this friend, they just bust in and they make it like a comedy routine. And they bust in and throw the girl out the window and all that shit. They do all that. They get nothing out of it. And they leave. And you're like, well, no shit, he didn't get anything out of it. Why the fuck would some random druggie in some fucking building know shit about anything? He had no connection. No one knew shit that he would have a connection. That was this entire movie was like that, though. It was randomness.
That was to give you the idea that maybe they weren't really looking for her and they had something to do with that because they kept playing with the fact that his buddy had the drug
Why would they bother doing that? I know. And then he winds up, this movie is about people making bad decisions based on bad information, right? That's what, that's what he does the entire fucking movie. That's what he does. Yeah, which is exactly that. The whole movie is,
coming, at least.
The whole movie
is. Did you see
is,
that plot twist coming?
No, well, I mean, is that why they renamed the movie from Tokarev? Possibly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I knew that he right. that I kid had something that. To do with something because they featured him, you know.
Yeah.
So they kind of gave you like a hint, CSI but I didn't necessarily know why. But yeah, right. I mean, had the name of the movie been Tokarev, I think it would have been a little bit more because they do specifically mention that they make a big deal about that gun. The
right. Yeah, which I was trying to think, why are you speaking about this gun and how many deaths it's had on it? And yeah, because there is a line in there about this gun hasn't been used since a killing in 82. You know what I mean? Which was obviously, right. You know, the kind of the line, which I think if the name was the same.
Danny Glover is not too old for this shit, I mean, wow.
Danny Glover's been too old for this shit since I was too young to watch these movies.
Danny Glover comes in, it's like, damn, man, you are too old for this shit. Take a seat. Someone give that man a seat. He needs to sit down.
Somebody give him a cigar. And a paycheck. Watch him in Badasses too. Do that. And if you're going to watch a Cage movie, go back and watch Snake Eyes. I just did that recently. And that
yeah,
that
would actually be...
What's a fun...
That'd be much Cage better. Yeah, watch one, you know, that when you say the word Hollywood, that's when you think of Nicolas Cage was a Hollywood star. Watch those Nicolas Cage movies. Bringing Out the Dead. That's a great one.
Is it great? I haven't seen it in a long time. I gotta refresh.
I love that movie. That one. Great Scorsese flick. I like it a lot.
All right, so those are the 8 films that we have reviewed today. Gone Girl, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Draft Day, Transformers 4, The Mountain Men, Leprechaun Origins, Rage, and Oculus. Obviously, we have split on a lot of these, but for the majority of these, you can find the reviews at moviemavericks.com. Let's get to the Trailer Addict portion of today's show.
Oh, that's me. Nope.
That's you.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
I don't know if we're going to need the shields for this one.
Yeah, I think we're in good cruising today.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right.
I'm addicted to these trailers. Let's talk about the big boy on the block.
Which one's that?
The Avengers 2, Age of Ultron,
The Avengers 2. Yeah, aren't you...
Broke the internet this week.
Just when you... Well, I mean, let's be honest. I took a while before I finally watched this.
Me too.
Yeah, it came out. Everyone was like, this and that. You think, it's man, you know, it's another superhero movie. What are they going to do? That's going to make you really want to see this. And this trailer just reminds me of why The Avengers is the premium movie with all these guys together versus, you know, the Thor movies aren't as good, you know, or not that they're not good, but they're not as good, right? The Iron Man movies really aren't even as good as Avengers. Any of the other ones, you know, put them out. Even the TV show S.H.I.E.L.D. is not as good. And this movie, this trailer just looks fucking awesome, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sold again. When I thought I was out of the game.
It's the premiere. This is it. This is the premiere, the main attraction as far as superhero movies go.
And if it's not, even if it turns out to be shit, at least they can, these things make great trailers with all these guys, you know, with all these superhero cutaways and these kind of moments that they have. The teaser trailer is full of moments, but the moments work for whatever reason. And like you said, once again, I was reminded why, you know, kind of fell in love with this shit in the first place after all this nonsense that you've seen in the genre lately.
Yeah, it just... and the Russo brothers are obviously a little bit insane for saying Captain America should be up for an Academy Award, but I mean, if anything, that shit's just a far cry from the Avengers and probably what will be the Avengers 2.
I'm real excited about this one. I'm glad it's breaking download records for trailers, whatever it may be doing. Mm-hmm. But whether it's going to live up to the hype, we shall see. But so far, the trailer looks like they're continuing on the path that was set there.
We oftentimes like, you and I, for whatever reason, oftentimes like the direct sequel to movies better than the original. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we got a strong case with that here, possibly for me anyways, when I watch this trailer.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love Scream 4? I mean, come on. Let's not be crazy.
But we love Scream 2.
I love ice cream.
I know who you killed last summer in the back of your car, too. I don't know.
The summer before last winter?
Let's just, yeah. Rage 2. I'm waiting for Tekarov 2.
Tekarov or Tokarov?
I don't know.
I thought it was a Nicolas Cage stoner movie, but I guess it's a different one.
In America, we say Rage.
We've given that movie now way too much airtime, okay? Nicolas Cage hasn't thought about it as much.
Let's move on.
Please.
Please.
What's next?
Let's talk about Insidious Chapter 3, because I didn't even know this shit was coming out. I've never seen any Insidious movie. I know you said they're good. Yeah, I haven't seen any of them. I thought this trailer was effective just for the fact that it's almost a short film.
Right? And this has nothing to do, really, with, they're calling it a prequel. This has nothing to do with the prequel.
It has some of
those one.
Characters in it, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that old lady in...
Yeah. There's a peripheral character in there. But, like, the main storyline with the girl and the boy and the father, that's all new stuff. But
well, I gotta admit...
That shit really works.
I was freaked out, yeah, with the knocking
me
on the
too.
Wall shit. That was... I mean, for me, when horror movies go above and beyond, once the thing shows up and stuff, it's like, all right, I'm not scared anymore. You know, there it is. Go
but that
know, fight it. Go
story.
Fight it. But yeah, that shit where you're not sure what's going to happen. And you're like, da, 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 da. And you know, then you get the da, da, like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Shave. And
yeah, no, I get you.
When you get that answer back, it's like, holy shit, what's going to happen? I'm scared. Because that shit's real life. That shit happens in real life. I believe that.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, you live in
That's
a haunted house, so believe me.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know why you're talking about it at this hour. So, and people think we're joking, but we're not. Trevor's broadcasting from a haunted place right now.
It's very frightening.
The rest of our podcast probably not come through the air now. But yeah, Insidious Chapter 3, I think, looks to continue the... Really, these movies became breakout hits. They're talking about Annabelle doing so well with 70, 80 million in the bank. Well,
right.
Insidious Chapter 3, or Chapter 2, did like 80 million, so... These things are hell of a following that they've garnered, and they do get under your skin. If you haven't seen the first one or the second one's available on Netflix streaming, I would say make that your Halloween night the horror movie. I mean, that is really, really a good horror film to watch if you want to get just freaked out. So, you know, because I don't like the mad slasher shit, because this stuff gets under my skin a little bit, you know? So I thought it was just really good.
Oh, yeah.
And just that trailer, like you said, it was good.
Yeah, ghost stuff's very... frightening.
And your girl Rose Byrne is in it too. She like is that your girl?
I don't know if she's my girl, but
lady.
I do like Rose Byrne.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. Let's talk about something totally on the other side genre wise. Top five. This is Chris Rock's film festival darling that went for a bidding war and looks to be released. He's playing kind of a version of himself. It looks like a Woody Allen type.
Yeah,
take on
it
life.
Does. That's a good
Chris Rock's version. Yeah. He's a comedian who doesn't feel funny anymore. He's dating a woman who is on a reality show, and she wants them to get married on a reality show. But that's not really what this movie's about. That's just kind of like what the plot description is, right? But
well, as you say, like it's very much like a Woody Allen movie. So it's a character portrait, if you will, of this Chris Rock guy. I would say it's kind of – it looks like a lighter version of Funny People, if you will, something like that. And the cast is just, I can't believe the amount of frickin' people in this movie. And J.B. Smoove is in this. I like J.B. Smoove.
Love him. Yeah, I do too. He was great on Curb
I think he
Enthusiasm.
Should be in more shit. Yeah, that's some funny shit on there. But yeah, he should be, he's underutilized really. But yeah, true. Great cast. I mean, they got everyone in this.
Well, I heard you chuckle a couple times when you were watching this trailer. So do you like the trailer?
Yeah, I think, again, like Funny People, I don't know. Everyone's saying this movie's very funny. I didn't necessarily see that it was incredibly funny in the trailer, but I did see that, that it looked like a decent dramedy, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that everyone says Zach Braff is, you know, a Garden State. This this is looked to me as like kind of a Garden State right up my alley.
The opening joke was, I thought, very well done.
I thought even
and
the
sets
ending,
the stage,
you know,
the, perfectly. Mm-hmm.
There's a throwaway line about his favorite rappers, you know, with these lists and shit. And then he says LL Cool J, and then they, you know, he says before the show, you know, before CSI. So I mean, I think that's a very clever. That's the way people really talk about shit. So I thought like that's an ear to the street type mentality that this movie has that I can get behind. And like you said, the opening bit with the. Kind of a short little sequence
the
there at the radio
the,
station.
Yeah,
the voiceover
radio.
Is very funny.
The radio call
so
sign.
I was interested to read that he wrote this script in their trailer for, or in his trailer off days for Grown Ups 2. And you think about a comedian who's not funny anymore, doesn't feel funny. You feel if he was just like kind of creatively stifled on that movie and just wanted to write something that was a little bit more personal.
It was surprising we didn't see some people in the trailer, like they apparently have Jerry Seinfeld in this. I didn't see Adam Sandler in the trailer either.
He's in it apparently. He's on listed on IMDb as himself, so he's going to be in it some extent.
Yeah, so those are two big people that I didn't see. Was Kevin Hart in the trailer? I know I saw Tracy Morgan and Cedric the Entertainer, but Kevin Hart's apparently in this too. So he's got
Cedric killed it. I thought
a
Cedric
big
was
cast.
Hilarious.
Yeah, Cedric's I think is always funny, especially when you get him in it like a character type mode, and he can. He can be very funny.
He's the saving grace to the Haunted House movies, you know,
he
especially
is,
part two. And also, I thought him and Mike Epps in the Honeymooners movie, which had nothing to do with that television.
That is
that
true. He's
hilarious.
Good in that, yeah.
I thought even him and John Leguizamo as a dog. That movie cracks me up, and I hate to say it because nobody ever liked it. It's like Surviving Christmas. That and the Honeymooners.
Well, it's not a good movie, yeah.
No, but it's fucking hilarious.
I
mean, honestly,
I will agree
funny.
With you, but it's not, yeah, it's not good.
No, by any stretch of the imagination, but it is. It's funnier than it should be. Mm-hmm. That's because Sed is very good in it, as is Mike Epps and John Leguizamo. But getting back to top five, he's good. You're right. When he gets behind a character, he can sort of seek his teeth into and get, you know, almost like what Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence used to do with certain characters.
Actually, yeah.
All right, let's talk about a very serious movie.
A serious movie?
The Gambler.
The Gambler.
Marky Mark's version, or Mark Wahlberg's. Version of the James Caan film,
right?
It's a little James Toback film that they're redoing.
Yeah, I like this trailer.
You like this trailer?
I did, but I will say it's awfully confusing.
Because the movie should be confusing. The original is pretty nihilistic. I mean, it's a Toback movie. Nobody comes out good here. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not like
Yeah, I like
right
the whole
happy endings are in there.
The whole fuck you thing they had going on throughout the trailer. Again, they
that was nice.
Played this like a mini movie, if you will, and I thought that was nice to have like a little short movie. So I did like that.
Wahlberg looks like he may be dying of AIDS in this film. Yeah. He apparently lost 60 pounds.
I don't know how well of a good idea. How well of an idea did you get from this? Do you think the movie's going to be like? I really don't know so much.
No. I
really don't know what
garbled.
I said. I jumbled a bunch of words there, so I hope that hit home.
It's about as garbled as the movie looks.
Yeah, that's my question was about because confused
ha, ha,
as the
ha,
trailer.
Ha, ha. Yeah, it's like okay there, pretty cat.
Yeah, point being,
the movie
itself.
Movie itself looks is good. About a professor who gets in, basically borrows money from his girlfriend, from his mom, and then from some very bad people, and gets in over his head. Trying to pay off on a basketball game that goes south. At least that's what the original was about. Let's see if this is going to be along those lines. The original is a very nihilistic kind of picture. It's available on Netflix streaming right now for a short time. They're probably going to yank it before this one comes out in the theaters. So if you're interested, get a chance to watch it. It's worth a view to see James Caan, kind of one of his better films. But Toback movies are hard to sit through. Because full of unlikable characters, once again. You know, people that make a lot of movies about addiction. And as you watch these movies, you're just, God, you just walk away or get out of there, you know, and these characters can never do it.
Well,
it's like
another
Harvard Man or
big cast as well that I didn't necessarily see everyone present in the trailer, so.
I like Goodman with the shaved head, though. It looked kind of dangerous, yeah. Especially after seeing him flopping around in Monuments Men. You know, like, give me a break. John Goodman through basic training.
Yeah, I do think that if anything is comparing this to something like Inherent Vice, I think I'm going to enjoy Inherent Vice better.
I would say the opposite for me.
Really? You think you're going to like The Gambler better?
I think I would like The Gambler better than that irreverent tone of Inherent Vice, which seems a lot more...
I thought there was an irreverent tone in The Gambler.
I thought there was a rebellious tone in The Gambler.
I don't know. He really doesn't seem to do much in this movie.
He's a guy, his character is very much like Nicolas Cage's character in Leaving Las Vegas, but without the alcohol and more of the gambling. So you can imagine that.
Right. I understand that he gets himself in a bad position here, but I'm not quite sure what what's the motivation to do that.
It's his addiction. That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. There's no like they have to go back movie. There's a payoff.
The movie has to do that in some way, right? And I don't know if it does. Based on this trailer alone is what I'm basing it on. So I don't. There may be other trailers that come out that make it look better. I don't know.
This will be released Christmas Day in limited release, and then there'll be a wide release in January, much like Lone Survivor was last year. So they are hoping for some Oscar consideration from this, from what I'm hearing. So
did you know that Michael Kenneth Williams is in both of those movies?
I did not know that. My God, you made the connection.
I'm just pulling the connections around here.
It's Kevin Bacon around here. I feel degrees. It just dropped a few degrees in here.
All right. In the Heart of the Sea. Ron Howard's new movie.
And it looks fabulous.
Starring Chris.
Yeah, show fingers going on over there.
Chris Hemsworth and Cillian Murphy.
This looks good. You got the Scarecrow and you got Thor in one movie, and they're fighting Moby Dick. Well, is this Life of Pi?
If he can drive a race car, he can drive a boat.
This is like Master and Commander mixed with, Jaws.
Well, we've known they were making this for a long time. Everyone thought this sounded good as far as I know, and I think the trailer proves that they were right. It looks freaking excellent. But it's based on the true story of Moby Dick, basically.
Yeah, and this fucking whale that just hunted them, basically. Let's hope this doesn't end up The Ghost in the Darkness, and this is more...
I like The Ghost in the
along
Darkness.
Along the lines of, What's that?
I like that movie, Ghost in the Darkness.
But it's... I did like it until they made him like...
I mean, I felt... I feel like it is... Yeah, well, it's definitely... That movie is a home video movie. This appears to me to be a big screen movie.
This is the kind of shit that Ron Howard really excels at. I mean, this is that kind of big screen adventure. And when I saw this trailer, you think, you got to catch this on the big screen. This is like Gravity or something like that that exists in a world.
Or Master and Commander.
See.
I mean, Master and Commander is a beautiful looking movie, and this looks just as good.
Mm-hmm. And this might be the movie that gets Chris Hemsworth some sort of notice as a serious actor, because
he hasn't gotten that already.
Where have you seen that?
He was in Rush. Yeah, I mean, so this would be just an extension of that, really, right?
An extension of Ron Howard's just.
I mean, I don't think Chris Hemsworth can go any further than where he is now. I mean, what's he gonna do? He's really not that strong of an actor. I like the guy. I like his screen presence, but. He's Chris Hemsworth.
Well, I think Chris Evans is a better actor than Chris Hemsworth.
I would agree with that too, but then he's gone about as far as he's going to go too.
We'll see. These guys may have a second act in there when they get rid of when they get off the roids, the Marvel roids. Those Marvel guys are eating a lot of vitamins. Anyways, The Heart of the Sea looks good. Moby Dick. Chasing down people.
Moby Dick.
It wouldn't be great if this was just like a schlock thriller. It turns out that Ron Howard just makes a schlock thriller. It's rated R, hard R.
I wish. That'd be awesome.
It's the deep blue sea of Ron Howard movies.
I'm ready for
it. Why does Deep Blue Sea get hated on? Do you like Deep Blue Sea?
Yeah, of course. I think people like Deep Blue Sea.
Do they?
It's just a shitty movie. But it's fun.
It's a shitty movie people like. Yeah, okay. I'm good with that then.
I think people like Deep Blue Sea, as I remember.
Been a while. Some of these movies now are getting up there in age. I mean, it's dog shit. It's not that old. It's like 15 fucking years old now. You're like, God.
That was the one with the smart sharks, right?
Sharks are always smart, aren't they?
No, but
they know when you bleed.
These were super.
They know when you're in the water.
They can just smell that. That doesn't make them smart.
They smell the fear on me right now. I ain't going back in that water. What's scarier, to watch Jaws before you go into the ocean,
or I don't
to watch
go in the
Deliverance
ocean
before you go camping? What is a scarier film to watch? What's the bad call there?
I don't know. I mean,
you
don't
go in the ocean.
No, because those things are out there. You can't
those
see
those damn things is out
they'll
there.
They'll get you. I don't like that. Yetis. I don't like that idea of that. And if you go into the forest and there's bears, they'll get you too.
There's hillbillies back there too. You'd better be quiet.
I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about the bears.
I'm worried about the hillbillies. I'm worried that this show is now reaching astronomical length, and we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for today before we start talking about hillbilly bears. And I want to thank you all for joining us on episode 254. As always, you can find our past episodes at moviemavericks.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitchers or wherever else you may be getting your podcast from. Thank you always for your support and your continued listening. We will be back with you next week with more reviews, more trailers, and, of course, the box office ace prediction game. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com/warp9. Engage!